In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think that all of us who have been through the life of the church and various feast days and cycles, we look forward to the Gospels that precede Great Lent, and I think particularly to the Gospel concerning the prodigal son. And I'm just going to go through the text. It's so short, but then we can comment on it. He said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of property that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his belly with the paws that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." And so we have this remarkable story of a young man who rejects his father's authority and demands his inheritance, and he goes forth and he squanders it. And I think that, of course, we're talking about spiritual things, not worldly things. And so the reason that this parable, this story, is so attractive to us is because it speaks to our own inner lives. And obviously, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ gave us absolutely everything. He gave us our life. He gave us our soul. He gave us our conscience. He gave us our intellect. He gave us our heart to discern the truth. All of this He gave to us. And yet, in this case, the young man went forth and he demanded his inheritance. And, of course, what he was doing, he was following his passions, his pride, his passions. And it led to desolation and alienation and separation from the Father, who is clearly God. There's no question that the Father is God. And of course, this, I hope, is a window into our own souls. When we look upon our own lives, that we are able to realize that actually we are like the prodigal son. You may say to yourself, "Well, you know, I haven't gone to my father and made demands, and I haven't taken anything from him and squandered it." But really, if you say that, then you're speaking in an external way. The truth is that God gave us everything. He gave us everything that we need to pursue and to acquire salvation. And we have squandered it. There's no question that we squandered it. And you might think, "Well, gee, and this is a story, and it happens over a good period of time, where the prodigal son goes through this whole process. It must have been at least a few years or more, and comes to his senses." But you know, what I think we do is that we actually, we do this almost on a daily basis. We begin the day in a proper way with our holy prayers and our awareness of God's presence in our lives. But then we get tired, you know, and we abandon our awareness of the presence of God, and we engage ourselves in things that are actually antithetical to spiritual life. Perhaps we watch television, and we're watching programs that, you know, might have violence in them, or might have carnality in them, or all kinds of decadent subjects. And in reality, we're being the prodigal son. We're leaving our consciousness and aware of God's love for us, and we're wandering off into this desolate place. And perhaps in the late evening, we suddenly wake up and we realize that we have parted from the presence of God, and we get ourselves up and we go back to our prayers and to our petitions, petitioning our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ to once again receive us. And what, of course, he does, in the parable, it seems like a one-time event. The truth is that he continuously receives us. And we continuously fall away, and we squander the wealth, the spiritual wealth that he's given us, and we come back to awareness, and then we return, and he forgives us. And it happens over and over and over again. And on the one hand, that sounds very discouraging, but on the other hand, it's remarkable that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is so merciful and patient, that he accepts our falling away. And he accepts the fact that that we are weak. And yet he's always calling us to return. And each and every day, we need to remember, I think, the prodigal son, and look at our own lives through this lens and say, if I fall away, I am going to return. I'm going to return to the Father. It's as I was reviewing this, I was thinking, you know, it should be the two prodigal sons, not one prodigal son, because in reality, the second son despised his brother because he had gone to his father and asked for his substance. He despised him, and when the prodigal son returned, he was jealous of him. And here you see this beautiful image of as the prodigal son. He says it kind of came to himself. He came to his pure conscience self, the self of his conscience, and of his sense of divinity. And so, in coming to himself, he returned, and he returned with an attitude of profound humility, and to beseech the Lord. And the Father, what does the Father do? He hears the Son, that the Son is coming, and he immediately runs out to meet him, and he falls upon him, he kisses him on the neck, he brings him to the house, he clothes him in a royal robe, and they kill the fatted calf and celebrate, make merry, it says. And of course, this fatted calf, I think, is to enter into communion with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, to partake of his body and blood, and to partake of the source of salvation that has been given to us. Well, the other son is jealous, and he's angry, and he's complaining, and here he's been with him. I've been with you all this time, and you never killed the fatted calf for me. And so he has this anger and this jealousy. And what did the Savior say to him? Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. It's interesting, I think, this last line, all that I have is thine. And because I think in this case, the Father, I think, who represents our Lord, it's really an act of tolerance. Because in reality, the son who stayed home did not have all that was in that the Lord had. He did not have humility, and I think, you know, humility is essential for love. I mean, how can a person love without humility? If pride is the rule, then where is love? And so he didn't have this humility, and complaining against his brother. So I think what actually is happening is, although the Savior says, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine," when he says this, I think it's true that all that thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. It's yours, but it's yours in one sense, but it's not yours unless you access it. I think we must access the love of our Father and the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and we do this through repentance. We each and every day we have to look at our souls and deep within ourselves, and we have to examine ourselves and to see. It's just a little short study to say, okay, what attitudes have I had today? What has interested me today that's decadent or sinful? What are the things that I have left undone? What attention have I given to the things of God? And what attention have I given to satisfying my own fantasies and passions? And we need to look at ourselves, and then we need to bow down before our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and prostrate ourselves if we are able, and to ask for God's forgiveness. And if we do this, and we do it every day, then we will be greeted, as it were, by the compassion and the love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, this parable is preparing us for a great and holy Lent. And great and holy Lent is a time for repentance. And in this, the prodigal son, I think, is such a wonderful example that we need to become continuously aware of our need to examine our own thoughts, to examine our actions, to examine our feelings, and the impulses that drive us, and evaluate them in the light of Christ. Are my intentions pure? Am I filled with pride, or do I have humility? And when I have humility, do I have humility in pride, or do I have it in innocence? And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, in the light of this very beautiful gospel and this wonderful parable, let us begin to look forward to our great and holy Lent, which begins in 2 weeks, and let us have this image of the prodigal son work within us and work within our hearts and minds, and prepare us for great Lent, and then in great Lent, prepare us for the ultimate return in beholding and participating in the death and resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.